80 years ago, an astronomer named Clyde Tombaugh, who worked at the Lowell Observatory in Flagstaff, Arizona, made a discovery that would capture the imagination of space enthusiasts for generations, including this kid. Tombaugh discovered Pluto. In honor of that discovery, we have two guests who've had a hand in how we think and dream about space, and certainly about what some people call the dwarf planet. I'm joined by Neil deGrasse Tyson. He's an astrophysicist and author and host of Nova Science Now. And get this, astronaut Buzz Aldrin, Apollo 11 moonwalker. It's an honor to have you both on the show.
Happy to be here.
Hey, good morning, Neil.
Good morning, Buzz. How the hell are you, man?
Professor Tyson, let me start with you about Pluto. Now, of course, we've had the long-running debate about whether Pluto is a planet or not. And to Pluto planet lovers, I got to say, you're one of the villains. You've referred to Pluto as a dwarf planet. You've referred to it noncommittally as a cosmic object. Where are we in our thinking about Pluto and its membership in the solar system?
Don't shoot the messenger.
Right.
All I did was reveal to the world with a group of my colleagues back in New York. In fact, it was almost exactly 10 years ago. We opened the new Rose Center for Earth and Space, the then new facility. And when you have a new facility, it gives you an occasion to rethink the trend lines in scientific discovery and how you might create an exhibit. So we put up an exhibit upon realizing that there's some other icy, small, weird orbited objects in the outer solar system. We decided to group Pluto among them. This is now known as the Kuiper Belt of icy objects. And that's really all we did. We didn't kick Pluto out of the solar system, but we were the first to do this publicly. And there had been a debate sort of percolating behind the scenes, and it finally hit ahead in 2006 when the international community of astronomers voted to formally demote Pluto or reclassify it to dwarf planet status. And this pissed off a lot of people.
Sure. And to so many people, it was sort of kicking it out of the solar system because all of us had learned, of course, nine planets and Pluto is the smallest of them all. And it's kind of the darling. Have you discovered that? I know you have your new show, The Pluto Files, which is coming up next month. You're kind of touring the country talking about Pluto.
Yeah, so the book that I wrote, The Pluto Files, was really a catharsis for me because I was branded as public enemy for having revealed this information about Pluto. And so in the Pluto Files, it shares with the viewer, the reader in the case of the book, but the special coming up on March 2nd, actually, it's kids, third graders, sending me hate mail. It's a lot of it is entertaining, and it's all in fun, but it revealed something about the power of this particular cosmic object in the hearts and minds of Americans.
You still can't say the P word, can you? You can't say it. Buzz Aldrin, let me ask you if I could, you know, traveling to Pluto, the dream of that, far from it. The latest budget from the Obama administration, as I know you know, zeroes out the Constellation program. That is putting a major impediment on man's scheduled return to the moon, on manned spaceflight. How do you view where we're at in terms of promoting manned spaceflight right now?
Well, Neil is a troublemaker about Pluto, and I grew up with Pluto, a Disney character, and wondering what Pluto the dog was doing way out there. But I'm kind of a troublemaker right now because we need to do some things that interject a changeover from government launch humans into low Earth orbit to commercial launching. Of humans into, and that's a pet project of mine because we've been landing people for 30 years with the space shuttle, and it wasn't a mistake. It was a very big, technically complex vehicle, but to follow that by landing back in the ocean again is just not what we ought to be doing. Yeah, that's why I've been behind a lifting body runway lander as soon as we can get it done on a very reliable Atlas V launch vehicle.
On an Atlas
V
rocket.
And at the same time do all we can to close the gap so that we don't have to buy rides to our space station from the Russians.
Neil deGrasse Tyson, either way, manned spaceflight is going to be slowed down with the budget cuts that we've had, whether it's to the moon or beyond, and whether it's on an Atlas rocket or a Constellation launch vehicle.
I've never been strongly opinionated about one species of launch vehicle or another.
Right.
I know Buzz has been. But what Buzz has gotten right from the very beginning is the fact that you don't have a sustained presence in space unless a space program morphs into a space industry. And without the commercial support for what we all hope to be a sustained presence in space, then NASA has to, you know, go hat in hand to Congress every year. And so one of the sort of silver linings of this, of these new decisions regarding NASA in the Obama administration is the tacit statement that they want NASA to sort of get out of the low Earth orbit business and cede that over to commercial enterprise. And that's a very natural trajectory that the government has taken in the past. The government historically has made the initial investments in industries or activities that for which the capital markets couldn't value until it was established, and then the capital markets swoop in, and it creates thriving tax base for the country.
And in the meantime, Neil deGrasse Tyson, before we sort out how to get high Earth orbit manned launch either to the moon or beyond, we're going to have to be satisfied probably with what we have, which is Hubble photos. I've been pretty impressed. Well, I'm a huge fan of Hubble deep field photos, but we've got some new photos of, well, I'm going to call it a planet. You can call it what you want, but we've got some new Hubble photos of Pluto.
Yeah. So Hubble, you know, Hubble is a great substitute for going there. you zoom in and see what you've got. And the latest images from Pluto, normally we associate Hubble with deep field objects across the universe, but it can look at relatively nearby objects as well. And these recent objects, images of Pluto, show that the surface is actually quite interesting, highly varied in reflectivity, and even some sort of amber color that's there. It's a little bit mysterious. But there's a mission headed there right now, the New Horizons mission, in the fast lane. It'll get there in about 5 years, and it'll get the first very close-up images of Pluto from a flyby. But images of distant objects versus traveling there, these are two different kinds of enterprises. And, you know, Buzz is a hero because he went to a new cosmic object. And as a culture, we value our explorers in ways that few other people in society are valued. We build statues to explorers. We write books and stories and novels about them. And so to remove that as sort of the dream that so many of us maybe even took for granted growing up in the 60s and early 70s, I think is it undersells who and what we can be as a nation.
Neil deGrasse Tyson is an astrophysicist and author and host of Nova Science Now. And Buzz Aldrin, retired astronaut, joins us to give us their vision of the future of space. Thank you both for joining us. You know, I'm with two skinny J's on this.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.